Welcome to the Kaiju Podcast. I'm Ralph.
I'm Jorge.
And today we're talking about Varin, the Unbelievable.
1962.
Yes, not 1958.
Yeah, right, because yeah. Here's the thing. Like, I'm watching it, and I'm like, whoa. Oh, is this like, because like, all these names are coming up. I'm like, oh, is this like one of those co-productions, American Japanese? Wait, this is in English. And so then I looked it up, and yeah, so I guess they did the Raymond Burr treatment on this one.
Yeah.
That they did for the original Gojira. And so things have, so apparently a lot of the story is completely different.
Yeah.
Apparently they say that the roar is different.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
You can go to, like, you can YouTube, like, Varin or Daikaiju Varin roar, and you'll get the roar. And the roar is a lot more like Godzilla's roar, which is kind of, like, weird, metallic-y, trumpety thing. As opposed to, this is just kind of, like, he didn't really have a major roar. It was just a bunch of, like, noises he made as he tromped along the forest, it seemed like.
One of the main differences I found out before, because we actually announced this one on our last episode, but we're, like, kind of late in the game as far as recording it.
Right.
So a lot of times what happens is, like, we'll say, oh, the next episode's this, and someone will say, oh, make sure you blank. And it's like, oh, right. It's too late. It's already recorded. But this time, someone said, make sure you watch the Japanese version. And I'm like, oh, man, we only have what's available to us. And I'm pretty sure it's the American version. And I guess also in the Japanese version, Varin flies.
Yeah, that's the other thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, he opens his wings up like one of those, like a flying squirrel,
yeah,
and soars across, and that also got cut out. Yeah. I actually went on eBay and bought a Japanese DVD of it.
Okay.
So on some podcast, we will definitely redo and address the official Daikaiju Baron movie.
Yeah.
You know.
Which is fine.
It's the least we could do, for sure.
Yeah, because once again, we're not experts. We don't.
Yeah.
So we kind of go in this stuff blindly. But I enjoyed this movie enough to where I wanted to also watch the Japanese version.
Yeah, and I think the story is different enough. It kind of like, because like when you look up, it's like if you look up the plot of the original Varin movie. It starts saying something about butterflies, and I'm like, what? This is a completely different thing. Because, like, there's, like, these things, some, like, say these butterflies get discovered, and that sends people out to go check out this place, and that's kind of where Varin gets released.
And I guess, like, there's only 15 minutes of footage from the original in this version, and every once in a while you can see shots of characters that aren't in this movie where you know they're main characters in the Japanese version.
Like, absolutely.
Like there's like the priest guy in the white robes with the beard. Like,
yeah.
You're like, okay, that guy's clearly main character. Shirazawa from the original Godzilla shows up as just a guy watching. And I think according to IMDb, he's credited as observer.
Yeah. And originally he was credited as bomb expert.
Okay.
They're talking about Akihiko Hirata. Is that who that is?
I think so.
Yeah, it's like when I started going back and forth, it said like, because I saw him, I recognized him, even without the eye patch. And I was like, oh, that guy. And I looked him up and he played a bomb expert in the original movie. And then in the this movie, he's observer. Yeah. And I'm like, geez.
So, yeah. So, okay, like the Raymond Burr King of the Monsters, I'm fine with it. It's more interesting to see how they sort of cut him into the footage. And so this one, I want to do the same thing. I want to see how they differ. But we didn't know going into it that it was going to be so drastic.
What there isn't in this is, I don't think they used, like, the body double system where they would have him speaking to people.
No.
There's a great piece of trivia in the IMDb page for this movie where it talks about how the American scenes were shot in Bronson Canyon, like just outside of LA. And it says, interestingly, this somewhat bothered Myron Healy, who thought he was going to shoot his scenes in Japan, like Raymond Burr supposedly had for Godzilla, King of the Monsters. Interestingly, says it a second time, when Healy appeared on the episode of Perry Mason in 1957, he talked to Burr about it, and Burr admitted that all his scenes were shot on a soundstage in Hollywood.
That's funny. That guy thought he actually went to Japan.
Yeah, he's like, God damn, I don't get to. Jeez. I like the drippy font in the original titles, in the title page. The Varen drippy font is pretty good. Immediately, I'm not a fan of the dude because, like, is it? I'm assuming it's his son,
The
the
kid with the
kid.
mask.
Is it his? A lot of times in these, well, it's. I'm gonna guess it's his son, unless it's his wife's little brother. But I don't think so. I thought it was his son. I think it's his son. He only is a little bit in it, but you know, the kid has a mask on. He's like, oh, like American Halloween. And he's like, listen, we're not in America. You don't get to do Halloween here. Leave that for the American kids. It
Which,
was like, whoa, what a dick.
yeah, that's one of the things I heard about this version is if you like to see a guy, a white guy, bossing around his Japanese family, this is the version to watch. But it wasn't as bad as I had sort of geared myself up for. Like I was like, oh man, what is going to happen in this movie? But it wasn't too bad. It was
It said
the
all
it was a
in the
more playful, I guess. The way he was kind of bossing her around, his wife Anna, but then it was kind of she was more playful with it. She's like, she told him to go do
And I felt
something.
like there you did kind of feel like he loved her, even though he said some things and she had to say some things that you felt was like they tried to make it extra stereotype Japanese style. You got a job here to do, and it'll take a lot more than mumbo jumbo. They talk about Obake.
Which
And
is
he says it was their name for a prehistoric reptile. Obake is it's supposed to be like a shapeshifter. But it's now like, especially in Hawaii, I know they use Obake a lot. Obake is also commonly used for a ghost. Like when you tell ghost stories, it's like they use the word Obake for that too.
I don't know why they kept calling it Obaki. And if you're going to call it Obaki the whole time, why not call the movie that?
In the American version. Oh, you know what else I had read? That this was supposed to be a TV movie. It was supposed to be a it was supposed to be an American and Japanese collaboration of a TV movie, and then like ABC pulled out.
And then, but they decided to make it anyway, and
Oh, wait a minute. Wait, I might be confusing it with the other movie.
Well, I don't think the other movie was a
No.
co-production.
No, because I think it's why this is, you know how this is kind of shot squarish? I think it was because it was supposed to be on TV. I gotta find that part in my notes.
I
When
read
I
that the,
go
one
out
of the
of order.
differences is they take out Akira Okafube's Japanese score from the original and dropped in
There were
sci-fi
some
music.
really weird score things.
And then, but there was like Godzilla music towards the beginning.
There's a little bit of Rodan music in it. Yeah, there's a part where like the music kind of like this kind of Asian-y music sounding thing, and then it cuts off real blurply because the guy has to come in and say something to his wife. There's some really weird things they did with the sound in this. So the whole plan is this guy, there's a salt lake. And he is going to purify it using chemicals
Correct.
into a freshwater lake. And as if he's kind of seems kind of surprised that the fish have a bad reaction to this.
Well, before that, he's displacing natives. The natives don't want him doing this.
Right. The natives use that lake every day.
Yeah. And the natives think that there or believe that there's a monster inside of it, which we see at the very, very beginning there is. Like, there's a couple shots of Varin or Obaki, you know, tearing down some mountains and stuff. But the thing is, this guy gets wind that the natives are calling him a cold-hearted tyrant.
Right.
And I'm like, well,
it's in the newspaper.
Yeah, but
yeah, very accurate.
Yeah. And he apparently has, like, the backing of the military, but it seems like he's just doing this on his own.
Yeah, he seems kind of off the rails.
Yeah, he's living in a cabin by this lake, and he's going to go dropping these desalination grenades into it and just assume that everyone's cool with it and can't even fathom why
he does not get it.
Yeah. He doesn't know why they hate him or anything.
The part that where Anna says something about that they bring shame on my honorable husband. And I was like, oh God, no, I just see honorable. Well, and he says, worse than that, they bring tears to my wife. And then he, like, kisses her eye?
Okay.
Like he's eating the tears or something?
I try to keep an eye out for this.
Looking for a lip kiss?
Looking for a lip kiss. It doesn't happen.
Does not happen.
They almost do, but then get distracted by Varin. Or explosions or something. And my only theory is that the male actor maybe had an issue with this.
What?
I don't know. It seems really weird.
I think they were afraid audiences might have an issue with it.
Okay. Well, someone definitely had an issue.
Cause with... obviously this is pretty late in the game here.
1962.
But I know there's definitely, I know in older movies, there's definitely interracial things was very difficult, and they tiptoed a lot lightly around things, like where it's like, oh, you know, there would be like westerns, like where it's like, oh, this woman falls in love with a Native American person, but then one of them has to die in the movie.
Uh-huh.
So they don't actually go so far as to consummate the relationship or anything like that. And I think that's what I think.
Yeah.
I don't know if anyone's really kind of like looked at this stuff about that business, but
just like by him, as soon as he kissed her on the eye, mm-hmm. it was immediate red flags. I was like, okay, something's up.
Well, I was like, maybe she's his adopted daughter or something, or maybe, I don't know. There was something I was like going, maybe they're not husband and wife until it finally explicitly said it.
Well, he does hate salt water, so maybe he wanted to eradicate her salty tears completely off the face of the earth by eating.
That could be it.
It doesn't make
there's also the whole thing with the newspapers coming out is the other guy, the guy who's like the military liaison for him. Who basically he's there to translate the old movie to him.
Yeah.
He's like, someone says something over the radio in the old movie clip, and then cuts to him at the radio going, oh, they're saying this. He says they should have laws and regulations governing newspaper reporters.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, boy. not good in this day and age to hear that.
It's like, yeah. Yeah, it's exactly what's happening right now. And I could say that because we're only recording this like 5 days out.
Yeah. Toxic effect on fish. Well, duh.
Yeah.
Oh, and then Nelson, when he's like, all his tests are failing. He's got those test tubes and he goes, damn it, mud again. Nothing but mud and sand. And he freaks out.
Is he...
Lots of day for night shooting in this movie.
I just assumed it was all day.
Yeah.
There's like when I was a kid, I couldn't process day for night. I didn't understand. Like there was something about it I didn't understand. There's the Brady Bunch where they go to the Grand Canyon.
Yeah.
And it was supposed to be night, and I could not fathom it being nighttime, and just thinking like, why are they going to bed in the middle of the day?
I think when Mystery Science Theater 3000 really started pointing that stuff out,
yeah,
in movies is when I really started like training myself to notice when they're like going, mm-hmm. man, it's really bright out here at night. They would make those kind of jokes.
Yeah,
I was like, yeah, it's a good point.
Yeah.
All right, Varen finally shows up.
I mean,
go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing. I was going to say the same thing because he shows up about a half hour into the movie, but I was like, man, he finally showed up, and I'm like, oh wait, but at least this isn't Dimogen, because I felt like we were with all the American footage, we were getting to a point where we weren't going to get any till the last 10 minutes, like Dimogen.
Oh no,
And then I heard that they had cut out him flying, and so I'm like, man, they must have really chopped a lot out. But luckily, I mean, the movie's like, what, an hour and 7 minutes long?
It's pretty short.
And so he comes about halfway through.
And it's good. Yeah. His first, the foot, and then it cuts to them pretending that he's like, it's like he's causing an earthquake.
Yeah.
Was great. It's like when you were little and they used to tell you that certain big dinosaurs would cause earthquakes when they walked.
Uh-huh. The Varen suit reminds me of the Godzilla Millennium suit. Like when he's walking, not when he's crawling, when he's walking, he's kind of muscular.
Yeah.
Which is, I think, pretty rare for like these older kaiju movies. Cause usually like, if you look at like the old Godzilla suit from like the 60s and 70s, he doesn't really look muscular. It just looks like a guy in kind of a loose suit.
Yeah.
But this one had like defining muscles on his arms and stuff, and the suit was more kind of skin tight. I thought his face looks a little goofy, but I think for the most part, I think he looked really cool.
I liked him a lot. Yeah. It might obviously get some, a little bit of a pass on the kitschiness of it.
Uh-huh.
Seeing him in black and white was kind of cool too.
Yeah.
Because there's only, this was the last black and white one, right? So there's only so many of this black and white kind of looking mm-hmm. kaiju, and this kind of has a cool look to it.
Yeah, and he crawls and walks, which is like the best of both worlds.
Yeah, he does crawl better. I like his look when he's crawling better than when he's walking.
Oh, okay.
But and it's also like because like really kind of like you can really kind of make out the actor's head in the neck.
Mm-hmm.
You can really kind of see it. You can see kind of the shape of the neck, almost like he's swallowing something.
Uh-huh.
I thought it was really good. And definitely this actor had to do a lot because, like, he also had to do all that underwater stuff.
Yeah.
And I am like, that can't be easy to be underwater in the suit.
Yeah.
Which is probably a lot of foam and stuff just absorbing water and getting heavier and heavier as it goes. Yeah. But, again, I love it when these costumes get in the water. It yep. looks so cool.
Yeah. And it kind of even had that thing where we saw in like the Roland Emmerich 1998 Godzilla movie where you see the water swell before the head comes out.
Yeah.
Like they were able to do that with the suit. Like just for a little bit. And it has those like cool, like weird, like crystals on his head and back, like his crystal mohawk.
All the spikes. So yeah. great.
Yeah.
So that one guy who dies of fright.
Yeah, I thought that was like, oh, this is an interesting power to have for a kaiju. You're just flat out just scary. But I don't think Varen really has powers. He just smashes with his tail, oh, right?
I forgot. I wanted to look that up. Because WikiZilla likes to, like, you'll get a guy and they'll kind of give their all the different rules.
But,
yeah.
But he doesn't fly in this. Tick that off of the powers, but for the most part he just tramples and bashes stuff with his tail. But I thought he was cool enough where I didn't care that he didn't have powers.
Yeah, I liked him.
One of my favorite parts, and I wish this is something that still exists and I could track it down. So once the military gets wind of Varen coming to the city, they set up their kind of military game board thing, that like kind of Risk game board where, you know, they shuffle around the tanks and stuff with those sticks, but they also had a model of Varin.
They automatically on the board. Just had a model of Varin.
And I want that. I want someone to make like a prop replica of that that you can get. Cause it was, I mean, we automatically have an affection towards Godzilla toys and Godzilla movies. I think it was Godzilla versus Mechagodzilla with the kid playing with them on the slide. But this one, I like that it was functional, and it made no sense that they had one laying around.
They had to like commission a guy. We have a new enemy. he looks something like this. Get on it, because this map.
Yeah,
you've been using a bottle cap.
Yeah, I was gonna say, what would you use? So if this happened, or if something like this happened in real life, do you think someone would in the military would just grab? Well, I guess they all have like satellite imagery and stuff now. But if they had one of these war rooms with one of these boards, you think they would just grab a Godzilla action figure in place of whatever the monster is?
It'd be great if it wasn't Godzilla, because like it's like as if they had one from the last time. So yeah, we're ready for the next time a monster shows up.
But that was, I love that.
Varin, like, there's a part where it looks like Varin is sneaking up on a guy. Even though we know the earth shakes every time he takes a step.
Yeah.
But then that guy falls off a cliff, and then we get, you know, a great little moment with a doll.
Yeah, a good one. It falls so far. it's such a tiny doll.
Because these landslides. Oh, yeah, he yells at her to get back in the cave. So one of the things that was built for the purpose of this American version of the movie was that giant Varin claw in the door, in the opening of the cave.
Yeah.
Which is, I think, why they used it as much as they did.
Yeah. The scale of Varin kind of reminded me of Daimajin a little bit. Like, he wasn't super gigantic. So when he grabbed that airplane.
Yeah.
Like, it's a big airplane. Like, it's a big airplane model as opposed to a little tiny airplane model.
Yeah, it's almost like when Frankenstein was...
Oh, grabs, you know, the tank?
When he comes out.
Yeah.
When he comes out and there's that big boat.
Yeah.
And he's in the water with the big boat.
Yeah. Because, you know, like, in, like, the cheaper movies where you can tell they just went to, like, the model store and just bought, you know, regular model airplanes.
What was there?
But this one looked like it was built specifically for the movie. Because I don't think that's a scale that you would find in a toy store. But I like that. I want more of that, the scale down kaiju, where they're still big, but...
So good. But, I mean, there's a lot, like, there's little model fishing boat was good.
Uh-huh.
Even though you only saw it for like a second. And then, yeah, the big planes he was swiping at. And then there's that part when there's like the battleship that kind of comes along the side of him for a moment, too.
Yeah. Yeah, we need to see the Japanese version.
There's a lot of transitions where they would cut from one scene to another just by sliding the scene, like sliding the next scene.
Yeah. Like when you turn the page of a comic book on an iPad or something, slides over. I noticed there's a lot of jump cuts too. A lot of like weird, just like in the middle of a sentence, they'll just cut to like a closer shot. It's kind of strange. It seems like this was kind of rushed. Like the Americanized version felt rushed.
So then Baron's underwater,
And
they're just blowing up death charges all around him, and he's just kind of like. There's a part, well, first, there's a part where, like, the thing goes by, and he's, like, sneaking. He's, like, he's hiding behind a rock.
Yeah.
And, but then they just start just blasting him in the water with those death charges.
Yeah.
But that was my favorite shot, I think, in the movie, is him under the water and all this stuff exploding around him.
Yeah, he was behind a rock that was shaped, like, just a little bit like, different like than him. He was.
Yeah. There's an interesting part. Then, in like the big culminating final fight, when they're dropping all these parachutes on him is that a parachute gets stuck on the suit.
Yeah, and it stays there.
They don't have a time to go and fix it or him to break it off or anything. So, yeah, I'm guessing the actor probably couldn't quite tell or couldn't quite get to it to figure out how to remove it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it stays for an extremely long time.
But I like that. I really like it. I think it's, I mean, it's stupid to say, but I feel like it adds to the realism. Like, a lot of these movies you don't see a lot of. Just, I mean, humans are throwing everything they can at these monsters, but you never really see, you know, bits of airplane hanging off of them, or, you know, like what if a jet got stuck in Godzilla's tail fins, like just a hunk of it, and like there's a pilot still inside or something.
What I think is Godzilla would have the control of the tail to do like a quick whiplash
to get and it off of there.
It would knock him off.
Yeah.
I think he would shake off anything that was on him.
Yeah.
For me, what it adds is to the realism that these are just guys trying to earn a living, dressing up in monster suits and exploding shit around them.
Yeah.
And that I like.
Yeah. Yeah. When it landed on him, I'm like, oh, that's kind of funny that it happened to land on him.
Yeah. Oh, it got stuck. But then it's like, oh, that's still there.
Yeah.
And then there's parts where it's like, it's hanging down and like, it's like hanging under him. And that's how Baron gets defeated, and he just kind of crawls away.
Yeah. He may return tomorrow.
Well, yeah. There was this thing. Is it dead? It appears to be dying.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, look, whether it's dead or alive, we won't have to worry anymore because we still have those chemicals.
Yeah. So, I don't think there's another Baron movie. And I don't even know if he appears in any more movies.
Because
I did read that this wasn't a success. Like, they were hoping that it would be as successful as Godzilla and Rodan. But I don't think Varan shows up anywhere else, unless it's like some sort of stock footage. I'm going to look it up. I probably should have looked it up ahead of time.
Oh. A relic of the dinosaur Varanus Pater that lived in the Mesozoic era is equipped with thin flying membranes between its arms and hind legs, which can be expanded into wings to fly at Mach speeds, is a formidable opponent against fighter planes, and has a habit of swallowing things that glow. In its second appearance in the film Destroy All Monsters, it preyed on living creatures. Destroy All Monsters?
Yeah. It looks like those are the two movies he's in.
Well, I guess when it's all monsters.
Oh,
they refer to him as a triphibian.
Okay, well, we didn't see the third
swimming
one.
Land in there. Yeah.
I guess it's based on a Draco, D-R-A-C-O. You gotta look this up, dude.
Is that a real animal?
It's a real animal.
Because I was like looking at, because like there's all these color pictures of Varan.
Yeah.
D-R-A-C-O.
Yeah, go to the Wikipedia page. It looks like a leaf, but it's a little flying lizard.
I just get Draco Gun. Draco and Draco Malfoy. Draco.
Hold on, let me see.
Lizard. That. Oh, that thing. Oh, yeah. I just. There was like. They were like. BBC was rerunning Planet Earth over the Thanksgiving weekend. And we saw that guy.
Yeah, he's cool.
It's based on that guy?
Yeah. I think the flying part, which we didn't see. But I'm really interested in seeing the Japanese version because
he also reminds me of the wolf in Rampage.
Oh yeah, the wolf. The wolf flies
because the wolf had like porcupine spikes too.
Yeah,
he was like spiky, so it's kind of like that.
I didn't hate this movie. I liked it, but it wasn't. It didn't like knock my socks off, and. I want to see the Japanese version.
Yeah, that just makes me want to see the Japanese version.
Yeah. Because
when that DVD comes in, we'll I think we should slip it in the list to knock it out pretty quickly, because Because I'm anxious to see it too.
Yeah, I really liked Varen, and since we don't have many appearances from him, I don't know. I'm anxious. And then, yeah, we're actually going to get to destroy all monsters pretty soon. So, I haven't seen it in years. So, yeah, I'd like to see him in color. Because I always see him flying above, like, the blue sky. He's kind of like kind of more of a tan color, I think. We'll see how he looks. Because I like the black and white version just because he looks gray. Like a cool lizard, but... Yeah.
Apparently he's smaller in Destroy All Monsters.
Oh, he's even smaller? Because he seemed pretty small in this one. Well, I mean, compared to, like, these monsters that can step on skyscrapers in other movies.
Oh. Okay, so Varen's name likely comes from the scientific genus name Varenus, which is commonly known as the monitor lizard. So it's like...
Okay.
Like a Komodo dragon.
All right.
Which now I think about it, that's kind of, he does look, man, it would be great if he had that tongue thing that keep coming out.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were saying something about that the suit was very deteriorated.
Probably because of all the water.
So that's why they had to do, I think, a new suit for him.
Are you going to hunt down action figures? Toys?
Varen?
Yeah.
Oh, this is probably a pretty rare. I wonder.
Yeah, I don't know.
There probably won't be that many since this is basically it. Apparently, it was meant to be in a lot more movies. Oh, man. This is so sad. Okay. Just like the Baragon suit, the Varen suit was heavily damaged from water exposure and deterioration. Which, okay. I'm sad that the suits get really damaged, but I'm glad that they're not precious with them.
Yeah.
But because of this, he can only appear in Destroy All Monsters for a few seconds as an immobile puppet.
Oh, no.
Very sad.
Oh, no. It must be the flying one then, right?
I don't know. Well, we'll find out when we watch that movie.
No wonder why I don't remember him from the movie.
Man.
So now we absolutely have to watch the Japanese version to get more of him.
We owe it to him. And it's also sad to know that the Baragon suit had the same problem. Like, the Baragon suit was so messed up.
Yeah. But we got more Baragon. Baragon showed up in Godzilla GMK, and he's been in other movies. But it sucks that Varen hasn't made a reappearance. It'd be cool if Toho did something. I guess if you're going to do a giant lizard movie, you might as well make it Godzilla.
Yeah.
And there's not really a different spin on this, at least not the American version.
But with him flying.
Yeah.
That's a good difference.
Yeah. I'm wondering if there's a dog fight. We're probably going to watch the Japanese version sooner than later, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
Because our love of Ashira Honda, you know, his contribution is like completely stripped from this version.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I mean, this isn't going to be in my top five because it feels more middle of the ground, like middle.
Yeah.
Of the road, it's not that big a deal, but I could. I like the design and a lot of the model work so much. I feel like the model work looks like it could be on par with Frankenstein, but it's all chopped up. So yeah, hopefully soon. Let me know because I kind of want to watch it.
Yeah.
I have nothing else for this one. Let's talk about what we have next time. Our next episode. I'm excited to talk about it.
Let's go into some Ameritrash.
Yeah, we're talking about the giant claw.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, you're gonna want to join us for that, I'm sure.
It is a crazy looking bird.
We'll get into it. But until then, you can go to kaijupod.com, and that gives you the big monster list where you can check out the movies we've done, and you can watch the movies that we're about to do. It also gives you a link to our Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Yeah. So till next time, man, I have nothing.
This makes me a little nervous also about the other, because like this was, we found this on Amazon Prime,
Yeah.
and
It's
there's other kaiju movies in that Amazon Prime section, and I'm just like, oh, I hope they're not
all chopped up in there.
problematic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, what was weird was Amazon Prime had two different versions of this movie. Like, if you look up Varin and in Amazon Prime, two different like posters show up. And so I checked both of them, and I think one might have been slightly better quality. I'm not sure.
Oh, okay.
But it was still both the American version.
Okay. Yeah.
So that was a bummer. But yeah, I guess until next time, I'm waiting for that Japanese version to come.
That's what I'm doing too. Yeah, I'm
Okay.
hunting for the Japanese version. I just want to see the Japanese cast get to do their bit.
Yeah, who is that old man? He clearly is some sort of guy who is like a religious or I don't know. He seems like some sort of spiritual leader, and then there are definitely
Yeah, because there's a whole thing
scientists.
about all that stuff with the locals and the masks.
Yeah. And I feel like they
Who?
put the kid in the mask at the beginning, so they didn't have to explain to all the people in the masks at the end. Like, they needed to use that footage of people running away, but they had masks on, so it's like, oh, well, why? So they just put that kid in at the beginning just to show the mask. But I don't know.
We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. I'm excited. I
We'll
can't
see.
wait.
Sooner than later. Yeah, we'll
Yeah.
see.
All right.
More than half of the Earth's surface is covered by water. Its fathomless depth charted unexplored. Who can really say that Obaki does not lurk somewhere in the deep, waiting for the right moment to return? Could happen. Maybe 100 years from now, maybe tomorrow. It might even happen today.